Aleph, top of the page. So the Mora says that if the problem he can't go out wearing a single shoe, if he has no wound on his foot, but had he had a wound on his foot, he could have made it. He could go out in a single shoe. Ashtar boy Talmuda b'hai miraglov nafik. In a scenario where he's going to go out with only one shoe, because he has a wound, which foot is he wearing it on? So Rav Huna said, sandal l'shem tzarovit. The yisus are spikes, but when it comes to the yisus drachim, it means as your mud would dry in the summer season, it would dry in these very spiky bumps, etc., which are very painful for the yitzar, which will hurt the foot. That's why you wear a sandal. That's why you wear the shoe. When they see the person is limping, they see that he has a wound in his foot. According to the Rishami's version, that the problem is that people will suspect that he's hiding a second shoe. They're not going to suspect him for that, but rather they realize that, based on what he's doing, that the one foot has a hardened sole, doesn't bother him the bumps of the road. And he's wearing the sandal only because of the mark on the other foot. So he only needs one. In the Lashon Rabbi Sai, that the problem is that people will laugh at him. Over here, the answer is Yinami Mechaka. Even if they would laugh at him, they don't see the wounds. Still, he's not going to take it off. Because the foot which is wounded is going to have a lot of pain from walking on the road. So, whether they laugh at it or not, he's not going to take it off. That's Rav Huna. But Rechia Bar Rav says the Shum Tana Gavit. Adam Istinis Verach, a person who's delicate. Mekir Mitzvah Ma'isav Shanol Naloi Achas Shu Istinis. He's wearing it because his feet aren't hard, and he's a more sensitive person. So why aren't you wearing it on the foot which has the mark? Suma Kosam Mechachas Olah. But the other one, the wound is indicative of to people that understand. He can't wear a shoe because there's a wound there which prevents him from putting on a shoe. Therefore, according to Yerushalmi's version, they will not suspect him. And in regards to laughing, they won't laugh at him. So the Marsh is the story of the Yerchanon that gave him his right foot. So he gave him his right shoe, not his right foot. He gave him his right shoe, and he said, "Asisu maka," because Rabbi Yochanan is related to Hanoyel Sandolim Noel Shal Smol Tchila. Vehel Kach Shal Yamin. The Mor says further that Rabbi Yochanan says you put on left and then right. So he gave him the right one first. He says it means you're skipping the left foot, so you're indicating that there's a maka. So what does he mean? So Chadai Toch Hakamer Lady. So the Mor originally assumes he means, Im Kain, if I wear and put on the right foot first, the right foot, Shuv lo anol es shal smol acharov, I'm not going to put the left one on afterwards, because I don't put on the right and the left, but I put left and then right. So if I'm putting on the right first, what I'm basically doing is saying the right only, because I won't put on the left afterwards. No, we saw the mercy that that's the other round. If he's Talmud Rabbi Yochanan, I imagine comes out. Vina Yotze be Yachid. I'll go out with only one shoe. Vasisa es zu shal yamin kilo hoyse ba maka. So you're making the right foot as if it has the maka on it. So people go barefoot with on the healthy foot, and they put the shoe on the wounded foot, which is that version. That's the more sense right now. You see that he wears the pshat in the Mishnah is he wears the shoe on the wounded foot. The Morris says no. The microphone. That's the Morris says no. It's no raya. But the Morris pchia certainly. Maybe holds like a pchia that you wear the shoe on the healthy foot. The Morris says she'ain bo maka noel. He wears the shoe on the other foot. So this is what Rabbi Yochanan meant to say to Rav Shammai bar Abba. Im kein, if so, Reni Yotze b'yochid b'zu shal yamin. I'll go out wearing only a right shoe. But he says, Ragli shal smol, so then you're making the left foot, kilo yesh b'makas, if it has a wound. Deitze b'yochid b'yoshed b'makas, because I would go out wearing only a single shoe on the foot which is not wounded. Okay, so the Morris says there's no conclusive version of what Rabbi Yochanan holds. Whether he holds, you wear the shoe on the wounded foot or on the healthy foot. The Morris says, "Also Rabbi Yochanan." But either way, that was Rabbi Yochanan said when he responded to Shem Rabba, who gave him the right foot, the right shoe first, which was according to Rabbi Yochanan was incorrect, and he responded by this cryptic answer that Rabbi Yochanan the Tamei that Tamer Asisa that was Rabbi Yochanan Asisa Maka that you made as if I have a wound as he told Rishon Rabba the Mishmina Mino the Amino the Yamin Bereisha Sula Havino the Small Basrei. The reason why he said Asisa Maka because he's indicating he's only going to wear one shoe because he holds that the left foot goes first. He's not going to put the right and then the left. So he puts on right. He's just going to put on right. Vizehu. Teretz is, he goes l'tamei according to his own reasoning. The small chashiva that regards to putting on shoes, the small has the chashivas derived from tefillin. Just like tefillin are b'smol, can really kifinim menachas is mi'al. The pasuk says yodcha. It says the word yodcha al yod. It says al yodcha really. It's written with a hay. One of the places is written with a hay. Chazal Darshan, and Mole, it's written Mole. Instead of Yud Dal Chav Sofis, it's written Yud Dal Chav Hay. So we Darshan, Yad Keha, the weaker hand. Dano Smo, it's the left. She Keha, Linyan Tashmish, it's weaker in regards to. It's Keha means almost it's like it's. You talk about coloration, you say a darker color or a lighter color. So K is a lighter color. It's a lesser, it's like a lesser of an item. Huh? Less saturated color. Yeah. So the idea of K is it's a lighter thing. I don't mean light and weight, I mean light and opaqueness, opacity. So that is what Rabbi Yochanan said. The Morris says, but had he heard the Braisa, which said you put on the right for first, Habe Horebe, Laudina Kirb Yochanan. And he would have, Rabbi Yochanan might have, had he been aware of the Braisa, he might have changed his version. And therefore, obviously, we're not going to pass him like Rabbi Yochanan against the Braisa, if it's very possible Rabbi Yochanan might have submitted to the Braisa. Sorry, what? It's brought down in halacha. What I recall from the halacha, there are definitely poskim which say like that. It's a famous maaser this famous maaser this was printed up in the Atei. I don't know how many years ago. There was a chayal, a person, chilonit chayal, who was able. He got to some from family for Shabbos. They sent him for Shabbos one time, and he had a tremendous time. He really is wonderful. But he says he's not going to do this. He says, so what should he do? So he says, you have to do something. I'm going back to the tzavah. I'm not going to do anything. Crazy. I'm putting on tefillin. I'm not doing it. said, it's not much you can do, which will be unobtrusive. He says, well, why don't you keep the halacha of the right and left? So he said, okay. That's not easy. But he realized it wasn't so easy. He kept forgetting. And whenever he would realize that he promised that he was going to do it, he would go take home off and start over again. And now the army boots, so that takes the shishikol, you know, it takes a little extra, you know, it's a little extra time. So there's once they were going for some type of a testing thing with a helicopter, and he told us he realized he'd done wrong. He has to go back and he has to excuse himself for a minute. He said, "Well, we have to go. I have to excuse myself for a minute." So they excused him, and the helicopter crashed, and he was the only survivor. So he took it the. You know, close friend, etc. He took it very hard. He ended up, you know, that was like a simon for him to move, and he became frum. You remember this, Maisa? Don't ask me how many years ago. It wasn't recent. So, you know. Then I have a story which is also printed in one of these books about the fellow who had kept that one halacha, the power of a halacha, kept the one halacha. The guy went off the derech totally. He still, just by habit, he used to do that. You know, left, tie right, which is like, not like you're. And went off of there totally. This guy was in college, you know, got involved with a non-Jewish girl, and the thing about getting engaged. And one day, he noticed what he's doing, why am I doing this? And he sort of like set this whole process in motion, like, you know, quit, you know, like he's already a more mature person. Like, where did this come from? He said, look into it. And he ended up, you know, breaking up with the girl. Okay, from or not, but he ended up breaking up with the girl, you know, like, you know, so. The power of a halacha. Mitzvah gerus mitzvah. Okay, the Mor says, Rashi says, ain halacha. The Mor says that, now I wasn't clear. The Mor says Binami Shmile, except Ein Alocha Kosev Mishnah. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan was aware of it and held Ein Alocha Kosev Mishnah and Binyan Lameva. There was still like Rabbi Yochanan. So he wasn't. So it sounds like that Rabbi Yosef came along and said, "We have a Brisa one way, we have a Rabbi Yochanan the other way. Therefore, either way you do is acceptable." And Rabbi Yosef said back, "How do you know that? Maybe Rabbi Yochanan, had he been aware of the Brisa, would have recanted." Then he says, on the other hand, maybe he was aware of it and he just held, you know, possibly like that Braisa. So I'm not sure how to understand Rabbi Yochanan, but I can't rely on Rabbi Yochanan against the Braisa because I don't know how Rabbi Yochanan would have responded to the Braisa. So Menachem Tereza says, Yerushalayim is Yosef Deshneim, Obek Yitavayu. So the Eitzah is that you put on the. He put on the right, then he didn't, then he put on the left, he ties the left, then he ties the right. This time the small, he puts on the left, the counter. Nimshas ni'ilas yamin kademas the small, so you're putting on the right before the left. Kimas nisa like the right. So, kshiris small, the shayamin, which kibirchen, Rebirchen's point was that the tying, there's a preference in tying to the left, because we tie the tulin on to the left. So when it comes to tying, you give preference to the left. When it comes to putting on, you give preference to the right, so you're mekayim both the Brisa and Rabbi Yochanan. When you take off, chelet shel smol, and then the Mor says, when you take off, you take off the left, and then you take off the right. This is how chelet shel yamin, because that you come up the yamin is always on, is on more, it's put on first, and it's taken off last. Kul gasirin shel yamin bereisha, chutz mechelet. All of the cases of the Mor is saying what to do, in the Braisa it says, you always say Yamin, then small, except when it comes to taking off, and then it's small, then Yamin. A little time this further. Okay. I want to tell you something. Okay. Somebody asked me a kasha last night. Another lefty asked me a question last night about this, and I answered him. And I said, "Okay, I should mention it to you, Chabru."
So it's our
Dishu. Yeah, the night Dishu. Yeah, he came up to me after Marv. Had a question on. It was a lefty. Had a question. I forgot what it was. Um, Okay, the Mishnah said he can't go out wearing tefillin, but live with tefillin. So Amar Rav Safra, lo teima aliba the mandam. Now there's a machlokes in Erevin whether Shabbos is man tefillin or not. There's one mandam who holds that there's a lot of wearing tefillin on Shabbos. It's man tefillin. Pashas according to him, maybe even the Rabbanon, you're allowed to do that. Mikiradin. And the woman says, the Mishnah writes, Shabbos loves man tefillin. So the Mishnah says, you can't go out wearing tefillin. So Omer Safra, Lutemo, don't say, Aliva the Mandomer, that this Mishnah says you cannot wear tefillin, is going like the Tana which holds Shabbos loves man tefillin. But had you held Shabbos man tefillin, he could go out wearing tefillin. No, don't say that. Ella. Rather, I feel the Mandomer Shabbos is man tefillin, even if you hold Shabbos is man tefillin, and they used to wear tefillin the whole day. So it's his man tefillin, they wear tefillin the whole day. A person cannot go out wearing tefillin. Lo yetz, he cannot go out wearing tefillin. Why? Then also the suya Mishra Sarabim, because he might come to carry it, Mishra Sarabim, because the law is when he has to relieve himself, he has to remove it off of his head. And therefore, we're afraid he's going to remove it and then pick it up and not put it on immediately and carry it for Amos. So even though Shabbos is man tefillin, but you can't wear tefillin outside because he might come to carry it. That's one version of Rav Safra. V'ikad demachti lo seifa. Some learn what Rav Safra was referring to was the seifa. The Mishnah says further, v'im yotza eno chayiv chatas. If he goes out wearing tefillin, he's not chayiv chatas. Amar Rav Safra. So comes along Rav Safra, and Rav Safra says, Loi teimo. So I understand, according to one who holds Shabbos is man tefillin, this is almost, it's appropriate for him to wear on Shabbos. There's only a gzeres rabban, he might come to carry it. So if he wore it, he's not chayav chatas, because this is something appropriate to wear on Shabbos. But Loi teimo, don't say that which Mishnah says that he's punter, he's punter from chatas, i.e., it's only nisid rabbanon. But the rice, it's not considered carrying. I'll leave in the Mandomer Shabbos Zman Tefillin. Don't think that's only true if you have Shabbos Zman Tefillin. Ella, but rather, Afilu, the Mandomer Shabbos loves Zman Tefillin. Even if you hold Shabbos is not Zman Tefillin, therefore it's not something which a person should wears on Shabbos. Einar Chayiv Chatas. If he wears it on Shabbos, he's not outside of the Shabbos Rabbim, he will not be Chayiv Chatas. My time is, so what's Taikat of Shabbos? Why isn't this considered carrying? It's not Zman Tefillin, because Derech Malbush Avida, because he's wearing it the way he normally wears it. So Tefillin becomes, since Tefillin is something which is worn on the body, because that's where it's supposed to be. This is what something where a person's supposed to put on his body. So it's not the pshat the person's carrying the Tefillin. It's not the pshat is the Tefillin is being mashamish the body, but this is the normal way that it's worn. That becomes now a type of an item that a person wears. So the more is extending the concept of malbush. We know malbush. A malbush is something which comes to protect the body in some way from the heat, the cold, from the sun. Those are considered malbush. Something which is there to adorn the body is really probably is usually considered a taksha. What the Mishnah is telling me now is, but if something which is worn normally on the body, this is considered the normal, that this becomes derech malbush.
Let me say, by senses that it would be a problem, the masoi.
If they're not kosher.
Yeah.
Right, because then it becomes that. Then it becomes something which is not appropriate to bear there, because you're not supposed to have puzzle sisters there.
Shabbos is long, man.
It's interesting because I think.
And the other thing is, you've got the rutsuos hanging, which is like not worn.
I think that's. No, well, that's not any worse than a person would have things hanging off of the jack. Well, a tie could be, because that's a tashit.
Okay, forget that. Even the
no, but then
No, same.
So if there's no Erev, then it's a problem. If you say it's a Tafshi, it's not.
Fair question. We have to see when we get to the sugya over there. Basically, a person has, a lady has a thing which is, has this thing hangs down. She wants to look with an American Indian, you know. Like, you know, I don't, that's not a problem. That's considered a malbush. That's part of the malbush. What?
My wife has temples that hang down quite a bit.
Yeah. That's part of the malbush. Just standing with the ritzuas and the tefillin. But what the Moor is saying, since this is worn constantly, as this is the way it's supposed to be worn, you're wearing the way it's supposed to be worn, that's considered a malbush. You know, since the point is that once it's not kosher, so any day of the week it's not appropriate to wear. So you can't consider it a malbush on Shabbos. So since it's become possible, you would probably consider it the way the Now, we'll see in the Chayalim, there's a Chayalim we'll see later on, you know, Pasen's cases in the Gemara. Let's say a person has, a loop in their jacket. So the loop in the jacket is to hang up the jacket, you know, so that's not a problem. It's from Mishamish, the jacket. But if it tears one end, and he's planning to not fix it, then it becomes bottle because it's not kosher, because it has no Cheshivas to it anymore. If he's planning to fix it, then it's considered a masri. Because now it's not being mishamish jacket anymore, but not planning to leave it as stomach, thing hanging down on your jacket, which is okay. So it's something which you're saving to use to be able to fix, to be mishamish, but right now it's not mishamish anything, so it's considered a masri. That's the button which, you know, a button which is sewn in, you know, the extra buttons. So a lot of places, some places in Merchasher, it's a problem. It's not functioning right now. It's just there's a way to carry your extra button to have it if you need it. So instead of carrying it and leaving it in your button box, you attach it to your shirt. But you're carrying a button to have in case you need it. That's how you look at an extra button sewn in the bottom. So some places holds a problem. Other ones say, since the mice there, because leave it there, and that it's, you know, it comes like that, it's not a problem. But some holds a problem. If anything which is there, just as a hekatimsa, you're holding on to it now as a hekatimsa, have it when you need it. But right now, it's not functioning there as a malbush, so it's a problem. That's how he looks at tzitzis. Now that the makori is the halacha of tzitzis is once it becomes possible, so why are you carrying it around? You shouldn't be wearing it anymore because we want to save it to be able to fix it later on. See, that already, there's an interesting halacha. There's no issur to wear tzitzis. No, there's no issur to wear a bag at four corners without tzitzis. There's a mitzvah say to put tzitzis in. And Shabbos, you cannot put tzitzis in. So you're an onus for doing the mitzvah. So there's no issur wearing the bag because you're an onus for doing the mitzvah. Now, obviously, nowadays, we only wear the dalad kanfas in order to do the mitzvah. So it's not a waste of time. I understand, but you know, they used to wear dalad comfort bag it because that's how they used to wear, you know. It's an interesting thought. I don't know. It's an interesting question. There was some, if you wear something constantly, does it become a malbush? I don't know. Okay. Hey, Rashi. Let's say move. Before you ask me the strap, what exactly the head of the glasses? You should know there are some poskim. Interesting. The poskim used to deal with, you know, the spectacles. You know, the first time in the temple was the good old spectacles, which didn't have any temples. So it just, so they said the problem is it's going to fall off. You come to carry it, and it was made to put in the case, etc. But Mikra Din, It functions to help the body in some way or other. So it's some type of a malbush for the body, the glasses. They you look in the old poskim, they say it's also to wear. It's all out of zera because you might come to carry it. And they say if a person only it's just reading glasses, if it doesn't help you and you're walking at all, so when you're walking, it's not functioning to mishamish the body. Some poskim hold it's a problem. They hold that that's. Some say the mice is derech malbush because that's how you normally wear it. So a person would always leave on the reading glass even though they don't need it for anything else. It's not a problem. But I think most poskim hold a problem. Reading glasses.
Sunglasses. I could see an argument for saying that if it becomes cloudy or something like that, you might take them off.
There is discussion in the poskim about it. I mean, the question is, would you have the exam inside the Gemara, or you would have just like a practical? That's always one of these, you know. Yeah, the Gemara never discussed this case, never made a gzeira on it, or is the gzeira anything which is normal is to take off when it's. There's the mechachah law type of issue. Do you say that you can't? You know, they used to have these rain plastics you put on top of your head. And walking around when it's sunny outside, one of the things looks strange. So somebody said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, it takes it off." So is that a problem? You can't wear it because you might come to mechachah law. Or is the gzeira mechachah law anything which nowadays becomes the joke is the problem? Or they talk about specific things that never spoke about a rain plastic on a hat. You know, then you have a practical issue. You should be careful, obviously. You know, mechaykes on the poskim. I got sidetracked. The straps around the back of it. So the glasses are not a problem. If I recall correctly, they I saw somebody speak about the straps on the back. So if they're there to hold the glasses on while you're while you're walking, etc., not a problem. If or like they have these like sports straps to hold it, make sure it doesn't fall off, etc. If it's there just to be able to help it hang down, so they think they say it's a problem. So you're asking me, is it considered derech malbush? I don't know. I'm not sure that's not how you wear. I mean, it's not part of the wearing. The tool, this is what you're wearing it. This is so you have, it's a way to carry a strap, you know. Shabbos and Mishamash glasses, Mishamash you. I don't know. I would assume it's a problem. I'm not sure. Okay, the Rashi. Lotayim aperik brasa the Erevin Mesina and Puktayel with Gemara. The more discusses it in the context of the Mishnah, but most of the Tefillin person finds Tefillin out in the Soda, so can't leave it there. Derech Bizoyin once he's allowed to do one Shabbos. So that's the Mishnah beginning of the 10th parak of Erevin, and the Moras Machloikus. Whether it's Zman Tefillin or not, Beraisa, and therefore, what's the appropriate way how to bring it in? How are you allowed to bring it in? The Gemara says, even if so, Dilma Shokol Mireisha Imba Lefanois, he has to come to relieve himself. He'll take it off his head. Mantel Daladamas, he'll carry it. We're afraid he might carry Daladamas. Okay, so the Gemara, Omer, can't wear a kameya which is not written by an expert. So, Omer Papa. Papa says, Loitema adamumcha gavra umumcha kameya. You don't need that we have to have an expert individual and also an expert kameya, which means the kameya itself has been used three times. Rashi says, there were two versions in Rashi. How you define how do you get the status of an expert person and an expert kameya? But you don't need both a mumcha gavra and mumcha kameya. Elabut, rather. Kiva the mumcha gavra, once a person has established a reputation of being an expert in writing kameyas or generating kameyas, even though this kameya itself has not been tested before, and we don't know whether it's an expert kameya or not, it's still mutter. Dekanami, this really fits very well in the language of the Mishnah. The ketani below the kameya, You can't wear kameyah bisman shedim in the mukhim when it does not come from an expert. So it's the expertise is referencing the person, not the kameyah. Well, the Ketanah doesn't say bisman shedim mumcha. You can't wear kameyah when the kameyah is not a mumcha. It's not an established kameyah. Shram, we know that the main issue is the person's reputation, not the kameyah. Zok Rashi. We start with Rashi. It's the mumcha gaber, mumcha kameyah. Don't think you need both. So what is, so Rashi has two versions of what both means. Number one, verse version number one. Sha'asa adam zeh kameya zu legimel anoshim. A, the person has done, written this kameya for three different individuals, therefore, denasa adam zeh mumcha, shripa gimel anoshim. A, he's healed three people with this kameya. And the kameya mumcha, shripa ksav zeh gimel anoshim. So he has written for three different people this kameya, and this actual kameya, this same language, you know, whatever written in there, and this specific kameya has been used for three different people also, and established its reputation. So that would mean, according to the first version, mumcha gavra, that he's an expert in writing this type of kameya because he's written for three different people and it's worked. So he wrote one kameya, it worked three times. It's not a raya because it means one time he got lucky. Right, the kameya itself is clearly a very good kameya, but he himself is not established as an expert kameya writer because he's only written one time, so he got lucky one time. But he wrote the same thing three times. This, he knows how to write this kameya three times. It worked. That's a mumcha. And the kameya itself has worked with different people, so it's clearly a good kameya. It wasn't, again, the kameya got lucky. That would be needing both. You don't need that. Loses Inami, mean, that's one version. Second version does not require that level of expertise. Shekasu Adam Zeh Gimel Mine Kameyim Shal Gimel Mine Chaloyim L'Gimel Anoshim. He's written three different types of Kameyim for three different illnesses to three different people. Hani Yismach Gavra. So he has now established reputation. He knows how to write Kameyas. Not this specific Kameya, but he's established a Kameya. He can write any Kameya. The whole Kameya, any Kameya he knows from now on, we assume he knows what he's doing. That's what Mumcha Gavra means. Mumcha Kameya means Shanasa Kameya Zul Gimel Anoshim, Michal is said. Ben Shakasa Reif is said. Ben Shakasa Reif Acher. This actual Kameya has been written. This language of this Kameya has been written for the different people, not necessarily by one person. Nasa Kameya Mumcha. So now it's been established that not this actual one we're questioning right now to where, but three similar ones, all written in the same language, have been written. And so the first version says you need that this actual Kameya itself, the one which we have in front of our hands, this actual physical kameya must have been used three times. According to the second version, this language of a kameya, this process of writing a kameya has been done to three different people, so therefore we know that this process is a process, but not this one itself has been used three times. Okay, I hope that Ashi is here.